It's Tuesday, 26th of January. It's time to get your grin on with the Grincast to discuss World of Gaming from last week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Nikki.
Hello.
Thanks.
Hello.
Welt.
Hi.
Hi, I hope you guys are doing well because the weather outside is not. We'll start as we often do.
Would you say that the weather outside is frightful?
No.
It's good because it isn't. It's fine.
The driving outside is frightful. Anyway, what's people been playing? Nikki, take us away. What have you been playing?
Oh, damn it, because I changed my name in Discord again. I forgot. Yeah. I'm now first. I bamboozled myself. Hello, everyone. So, look, I'm the Gacha Queen. You know how this works. Gacha, Gacha, and more Gacha. But I actually played a couple other games this week. Not too many. Still played a little bit more Ballistic NG. Played with Puce and Winx. Was a lot of fun. We ended up doing... We did like two extremes. We did a sort of number of races where we only had to do two laps, which, bearing in mind, this game is very wipeout, so these laps go very quickly. And then ended up doing 12 laps with no pit. So we just kept exploding. which is a lot of fun. Really, really enjoying it. Like, honestly, like, if you're a fan of Wipeout or F-Zero or any of those kind of racing games that are just really fast, you know, futuristic, banging soundtrack, it's like less than £10 on Steam. Just buy it. It's got a fantastic modding scene. There's so many tracks. You can be a duck. You can be Solid Snake riding a missile. You can be the car from Initial D. There's even the track from Initial D. You can do the mountain run. It's great. So yeah, highly recommend that. Otherwise, still kind of playing more Uncharted. Kind of. Not sure if I'm enjoying it. It's kind of shit. I'm just gonna say it. I'm really sorry. Uncharted 1 is kind of shit. I'm sure it was great when it came out and like playing it then, but like going back and playing it now.
Ooh, have you gotten to the bit where there's a jet ski and the game is absolutely horrendous to play?
I just had to do like a car turret sequence, and that was painful in itself. And it was just like, the cars, like, I'm playing on normal. The cars would spawn, and it'd be like, okay, I've just got to wait for them to come a little bit closer so I can shoot them. Oh, they've already killed me. What? Enemies are shooting through walls now. My favorite thing was a checkpoint in the middle of a combat encounter. So I died, respawned, and immediately had like five guys just turn and gun me down. So it was like, oh, okay. Fuck me, I guess. The story is picking up a bit, though. And like, the story is the thing, I guess, that I'm trying to power through it for. But like, yeah, the gameplay really hasn't aged well. Again, I haven't played Uncharted 4, but just from what I've seen, like, it's a night and day difference. So I'm looking forward to seeing how 2 and 3 play, if I can grin and bear to get it. But most of my time has been spent in gachas and Ballistic NG, honestly. Princess Connect RE Dive is great and lovely. I got my Yandere waifu on my first 10 pool, so of course that's literally all I came for that game for, and it's great. Yeah, not really a lot else to add, I'm afraid.
Okay, Winx, what about you?
A fair bit this week, actually. Started off playing Calico. This, yes, just yesterday. I thought it was a cafe simulator, but it's not really a simulator at all. Kind of currently mid review of it. But yeah, it's to simplify the experience of the game. You just find stray animals and proceed to pick them up and wiggle them and in their little petrified ragdoll bodies whilst you make little baby noises. And yeah, you run a cafe. There's a lot to it. I'll have to issue it out in my review soon. I don't want to spoil anything, but I think this is a good game for... It's a fantastic game for kids getting into video games before Fortnite steals their souls. So keep out. I played Minute. I played on stream. It's absolutely mint. Such a great game.
I love Minute. It's so good.
It's so good, right? It's a top-down 2D action-adventure game. I would say similar to like the original Zelda, where you find a sword and on a beach, as you usually do, and then instantly get cursed to die, and like have to restart the game every minute. So you got like 60 seconds to live or do anything, do any quests and find items within that time span. And some quests and little missions will actively try and waste your time, talking to an old man with valuable information, and he'll soak up the 50 seconds of your life just to slowly talk or give you really important details. It's an absolute roller coaster of a game, and I love it. It was great.
It reminds me of I don't know if anyone ever played Half Minute Hero, which was the sort of JRPG series where you play a entire JRPG within 30 seconds. It reminds me of that, but it's like the Zelda version of it. Instead of running around grinding in against enemies, getting the weapons, and then fighting the evil Dark Lord at the end, it's so much fun. But yeah, Minute is fantastic.
Oh well, I've got to check that out. I'm gonna have to pick that up.
I think it's not on Steam. I think that it's definitely, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on Steam, so it's worth picking up. I played it on PSP ages ago. It's fantastic. Mm.
Sorry to interrupt very quickly. I just want to point out, because you've mentioned it, that yes, Half Minute Hero is on Steam, but the full title is Half Minute Hero Super Mega Neo Climax Ultimate Boy.
Yeah, it's a real meme. Also, the time goddess is sassy as hell. She's fantastic.
Sold. I'm sold.
You should be. It's incredible.
I played one last other one, which is of note. I've played Heavy Bullets. It's a first person roguelike game set in a shooting range, or really a safari where everything is trying to kill you, which is probably not the best place to go, I guess. You'd leave bad trip advisor reviews, but whatever. It's got a lovely low poly neon 80s aesthetic, and it's got that bouncy light controls akin to like a Unreal Tournament or a Quake. And it's very scary too. A lot of jump scares, a lot of hidden snakes and bushes and bang things spring towards you. And yeah, maybe I'll stream that someday if I can get past like halfway of the game. Yeah.
Okay. Velt, what about yourself?
Na 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 na. I've been playing Katamari Damacy.
No, keep going.
I can't keep going because the rest of the song.
There's
also like so much song and layers of vocal. I could maybe do it if you gave me like more time to prepare.
Well, we could be a barbershop quartet.
we could quartet. We could do it in a round, and it would be fantastic. No, I've been playing Katamari Damacy because. Was it Puce who put it in the Discord chat? And it's £3. So I bought it immediately as soon as I saw it was £3. Because Katamari Damacy is incredible. Mm. So I've been playing a bit of that. If you don't know what Katamari Damacy is, you are a small person being, the son of the king of all cosmos. And you have to roll around a sticky ball and collect things. That is all.
I thought you were going to insult me. It's like, you are a small person.
You are a small person. No, I'm not heightest. I'm not heightest. It's fine. I'm a short of person myself. And so heightism is illegal. But you could be a sticky ball if you want. That's sure. I'm also playing a bit of Portal 2 co-op. I never actually played the co-op of Portal 2 before. I just really enjoyed it. It's another game I picked up for a quid earlier this month. So that was good to play. I've not played much Portal 2. I finished the main story of Portal 2 ages ago, but I've not played it since. And I'm just reminded how fun that game is. You know, it's really great fun. And when you're playing with a friend as well, it's even more fun. You spend so long just killing each other. That
I once had no one to play with Paul too, oh. So I played co-op alone and got all the achievements.
That's is this a sad story time?
Yeah, yes.
Sad story time with Wings.
I'm crying
in the corner. Other than that, I played a bit of Dissidia Promenia Final Fantasy, which is the gacha game that I've been playing for a while now. It's just come up to its 3-year anniversary, which is insane that it's been going for 3 years, I think. I feel like those kind of games never last, even though I know that they do, you know, gacha games and stuff like that. But I'm so surprised that I've essentially just been playing a gacha game for 3 years on and off. I don't know. How do you do it, Nikki?
Well, I mean, I've been playing Azur Lane since global release for 2 years now, and Genshin since day one.
This is a gacha intervention.
This is a gacha intervention.
My name's Nikki, and I'm addicted to gacha.
I don't get how I've managed to put 3 years into a game and it just sort of fly by. And I know that it's not really, you're not playing it as hardcore as all that, although there are some elements of this game, particularly you've got to go a bit hard on. It's just weird that I feel like I'm on and off. I've never done that with a game before. Unless it's been a game that I've been putting a lot of time into. Like, you know, I'm always playing Skyrim, but I'm never like casually playing it like every now and again on the bus. Just I'm very weird. But yeah, that's about it. There's so much stuff I want to play. That's about it. What about you, Ace? What have you been playing?
Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Once again, as usual, my games that I've been playing are sponsored by Voodoo Ranger Hazy IPA.
God damn it.
God damn. You got to run out at some point.
I've got two more cans after this one.
This is like where they're going to randomly email you and be like, we didn't ask for this. Like, stop, please.
Please stop advertising our product. It's not helping.
It's a good thing they didn't send the 48-pack, which is, I don't know how much that is. I didn't research this bit.
Whatever it is, it's not worth our time.
It depends how much you like your IPA and especially Hazy IPA from Voodoo Ranger. I've been back on the VR, the Oculus Quest. I played some Intercosmos, which you are in a Soviet-era space capsule on your way back to Earth, and things keep going wrong because you are not the trained astronaut that should be there. So you have to keep flicking switches and pressing buttons, and it can all be done from the comfort of your own chair, so that's actually pretty good. And it gives you a wrench so you can wallop anything that isn't working properly. Also played Windlands. It's a game, you've got two grappling hooks, and you've got to collect stuff and activate these things, and it's all very vague excuses for just grappling hook around the place. And I actually experienced vertigo while I was playing it. I'm not someone who gets particularly motion sick or experience vertigo, but it wasn't from swinging around. There are these giant living statues, I suppose. And in one of the early levels, there's one sat in the clouds far below you. And I think the sense of scale of everything just overwhelmed me because I was looking at this thing and I started to feel, well, if you've ever had vertigo, it's not quite dizzy. It's more than dizzy.
That's really concerning, though, do you not think?
It does have some accessibility options, I suppose you'd call them. I didn't activate it, so I don't know what it looks like, but you can activate a cage around you, which apparently helps mitigate some of the symptoms.
Does it have any warning like stuff at the start?
Oh, yeah.
That's
plenty of warnings at the start saying that, well, if you're new to VR, then you might want to go with this option, not this option.
Fair enough.
It's pretty good. I've got Windlands 2 as well. I see a game with grappling hooks and I just got to buy it. This is the first time I've played the game because, well, I was looking at my list of Steam list of VR-capable games and it was there and I thought, ooh, give that a try.
Does it make you feel like Spider-Man?
Not so much. I think that's because there's great wide open areas you've got to jump and like
Spider-Man. But he's a bit sick.
Hope that you can grapple onto that thing that's over there, because it's whereas Spider-Man, you web swing from one building to the next building to the next building. You've got a lot of empty space between your grappling holds.
I think the big question now is, why hasn't there been a Spider-Man VR game?
That's exactly where I was going with that.
Mm.
I mean, there has, hasn't there?
Oh.
Has there?
No, I'm thinking of Iron Man VR. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, Iron Man and Batman, I think.
Has there been a Batman one?
I think there's been a Batman one.
There's been a Batman one.
Everyone wants to do web-slinging, right? And that's one of the big things that everyone loves about the Spider-Man games. Why not just make it VR?
Well, yeah,
just...
Sony's got the rights. They've got PSVR. Oh, yeah,
headset. Come on. Do it. Come on, Sony. Do it, you cowards.
Lads,
look. Spider-Man VR, it'll sell instant cash money.
Spider lads.
What? They should get the developer of Windlands, Cytek Games, yes, to do it.
There we go. Sell, like, give them a nudge. Come on, guys. Come on, lads. Sony lads. Get it done.
Sony pal.
Oh.
Oh no, we're starting the pal talk. It's all done.
One other game I've been playing is, as well as a little bit Synth Riders, I do want to talk about Synth Riders. You can add custom songs to Synth Riders, like straight off the bat. You can download an app on Steam, a free app, to make your own custom tracks. You can't just load any random MP3, unfortunately. You have to build a track to play. So I was looking at the ones that are pre-made, that other people have pre-made, and one of them was City Escape from Sonic Adventure 2. And it tells you these are the available difficulty modes: easy, normal, hard, master. And the only available difficulty mode for City Escape, easy.
Easy, not so rolling around at the speed of sound.
So I thought, oh, that'd be perfect. I'll give that a whirl. And that's if that's easy, then that person master is just comical to them.
Oh no!
I was trying to do it. My hands were flailing around the place. Like a madman.
You really were rolling around at the speed of sound.
I mean, yeah, I could not keep up with that track. I love that song. I just.
The song itself isn't even that busy, though, is it? It's not like a massively technical.
I wouldn't have thought so. Not for easy. I do want to give a couple of songs a try myself. A couple of songs from Transformers the Movie from 1986.
Of course.
You mean Linkin Park?
I mean, like, Dare. The other, the final game I've been playing is Shooty Fruity.
Oof.
A game where you work at a supermarket, and whilst you're trying to do your checkout duty or put food onto trays or baggage, packing out, fruit is attacking you, and you get a conveyor belt full of guns, and you have to defend your workstation from the fruit.
So just the first week of COVID.
There were multiple times where I didn't know where that was going to go. And I was worried thrice, I think, as to what exactly this game was that you were playing.
I mean, the title doesn't hide anything from you.
It's you have to shoot the fruit, that's fine. But first of all, I thought that for some reason it was about shooting up a grocery store, and I was very concerned.
I mean, you do shoot up a grocery store, because not all of your bullets are going to hit fruit.
They are if you're good at shooting.
Guess. You know what's good at shooting? The Predator, which is coming to Fortnite.
Does the Predator shoot? I've not seen any. I don't know.
He definitely does in the first one. He blows up a couple of trees.
I just thought he was more like grabby.
Oh, he's got that three laser.
He's got three lasers.
No, it's like a triangular laser thing, and it locks onto the target, and boom.
Oh, that makes sense.
Anyway, as part of the chapter two, season two, chapter five battle pass, you can get the Predator outfit, which is joining the Terminator stuff that's already available, and the Green Arrow, and there's some Marvel stuff.
Can we get Alien then soon? Just so we can reenact Alien versus Predator.
And probably some Robocop. And...
It's funny how all these hypothetical battles that we used to talk about as kids, right, have now, well, we kind of assumed that would never play out in any kind of physical medium, are now somewhat playing out in a game we will never play.
Sure.
I mean, we got DC versus Marvel. First time I'm aware. It's in Fortnite.
It's a game whose main audience is teens under 18, which is hilarious because, and this is probably what I think hurts me the most, is there's going to be a bunch of people that see some of the stuff going in and just go, "Who's that?" And it's like, oh, you young bastard.
Oh, from that Alien versus Predator movie from all
my heart.
All those years ago.
But it is mad.
It's just the same as Smash now. It's just Smash now, isn't it? Like, and all, is it Mortal Kombat? You were saying Mortal Kombat has lots of stuff in it as well, as Joker and.
Yeah, actually, Mortal Kombat did have a lot of.
Believe Mortal Kombat has had a Predator in it,
and Rambo.
Yeah,
and Rambo, and Tekken's got Negan from The Walking Dead,
and Snoop Dogg,
who can fight
what?
Snoop Dogg and Noctis.
Okay, he's not playable, but he's got his own stage.
I know Noctis.
Song.
Is he? Okay, nice. In Tekken.
Yeah.
Fair dues. Everyone's getting all into the crossovers now. Mm. I'm just wondering. I mean, Smash is the big one, isn't it? But you know, at this point, it's Smash versus Fortnite as to who can cram the most ridiculous properties in there.
Well, at least we got their own consistent theme. Like with Fortnite, it's any property under the sun. With Smash, it's at least video games.
Yeah, until we get Goku, and then.
Oh, you know what's going to happen. We're going to get the guy from Minecraft in Fortnite.
I'm surprised that's... To be fair, it's more surprising that he's in Smash than it would be him being in Fortnite.
I mean, at least in Fortnite, there's building.
Yeah. But
that being a crossover, it would make absolute sense. And I am surprised has not happened. That being... Him being in Smash is ridiculous and mad.
It's funny that you can play or at least see Master Chief on a PS4 or PS5 now.
Oh yeah, because Master Chief's in Fortnite as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess Kratos as well.
Vice Kratos is, yeah, and then is there anyone? There isn't a Nintendo character in Fortnite, is there?
Oh no. Nintendo would agree to it and then sue Fortnite.
You put Mario in there, kill him.
Yeah.
Speaking of killing, Resident Evil Village, Resident Evil 8, has had some details and a teaser trailer that everyone's getting really weird about. And they've announced that
Resident Evil is going
to come out on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5.
So what do you mean, getting weird? What's happened? Why are people getting weird? I
don't know.
Can I say it? Can I say it? Can I say the line? Resident Evil 8, more like Resident Evil Tall Goth GF.
Wow.
I was going to say something else and realize that didn't really work, and then I fumbled. But anyway, can she step on me? Can she step on half the internet? Like half of literally all Twitter has been half of people saying, "Oh, this looks like a good Resident Evil game," and half people saying, "So yeah, I want her to strangle me, step on me," and I'm just there like, both are good. But you know, no kink shaming or no kink shaming here.
Why are her feet not hands, and therefore she can step on me and stuff?
Oh my god! Moving away from the kink,
evil. It probably will happen.
Oh, she has, like, her hand at the end of the demo turns into, like, a claw and kills whoever you're playing as. supposedly. So she has ridiculously long fingernails that she can apparently control the length of, which, oh, there's going to be so much. There's going to be so much fan art. Anyway, no, to be fair.
There probably is.
There is already.
So actually focusing on the title and not just the everyone's new crush. I didn't really know what to think about this when they first revealed it a while back. But this is, after they showed us a little bit more, like, actually quite interesting. It seems like it's got a lot of inspiration from Resident Evil 4. Like, there's little nods to it, like the merchant's back, the pots that you break are the same design. Like, small details. But, yeah, it's all kind of a little bit more witchcraft, werewolves. It looks a little bit more action-focused, even though it's still in that first person. Like, I wasn't overly interested in Resident Evil 7. I'm quite interested in this one. No, it's not just because I have a crush on the ladies that will be... There's four of them, actually.
Crushing you.
Oh, thank God, please. I can dream. But, yeah, no, but it generally looks good. Although, there was an interesting thing. Like, the cover for, I think, the deluxe edition got released and possibly spoils the game, which is kind of funny. Although, looking at it, it's not really a spoiler because it's kind of blatantly obvious. But I won't say anything.
Do you think,
I'm not pulling that up now.
Do you think Resident Evil... there seems to be like a pattern with Resident Evil games, at least the main... numbered series, where the first one is usually the best, like out of like different eras. It's like we're in the third era of Resident Evil games. The first game of the first era or first game is usually the pinnacle, and then the second one is like they do a bit too much, and then the third people are just tired of the franchise until they reboot it, or not reboot it but rejuvenate it into the next one, and this will be like the second of the new era. Do you think it'll be better than the seventh game?
It feels a little bit like my only comparison is like the RE2 to RE3 remake. In the RE2 felt, even the remake felt survival horror. Everyone I've spoken to who played 7 said, yep, 7 felt survival horror. RE3 has always been a little bit more action, and the remake was definitely more action focused. And I kind of get that vibe from what we've seen. We've only seen like maybe 5 minutes. I haven't played the demo because it was only available on PS5, although it is coming to more platforms at a later date. Apparently it's gonna conclude, sorry, clicking my tongue there. Apparently it's gonna conclude Ethan, who's the protagonist of 7 and this one, his story. So maybe for 9 or whatever it is, they might change the formula up again and kind of go for it. But Capcom seem at the minute to be quite content with their mainline entries being first person, and then the side/remakes leaning more into that kind of what they did with RE2. So I don't know. I'm curious. I kind of want to just see more of the location and the quote lore, because I'm really down with the whole like witchcraft thing.
Yeah, especially with the mother maiden crone kind of thing they're doing with the vampire ladies. And also I think they've shown off that, or they've hinted that you'll be exploring four houses instead of just the one, like in 7, in the new village. So that's probably just one house with the vampire ladies. Who knows what's in the other three?
Because the nurse sort of reveals the castle, and then we've seen a few clips in like actual village houses. So yeah, maybe it's a couple of different locations and you get to move between them, but it's going to be cool. Again, like the demo's out. If you've got a PS5, go give it a go. It takes place prior to the events of the main game, and you play as someone. The maiden. Also, the actual like key art they show, again, I'm not going to go into details, but again, if you want to, dear listeners, go and look at some of the stuff they revealed, the key art and the cover, and you can really easily piece together like kind of roughly what might happen. It's purely speculative, but like I would quite happily bet money on what I think is going to happen in this game based on what they've released.
Maybe it's also just to lead you down a path and make you think that that's going to happen, and then they're going to pull the rug out from under you at the end, and it's the exact opposite.
The game starts, and it's actually just Ethan sitting down with the tall lady, basically like talking about his weird...
They're having a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, over a cup of tea, and it's just like, Ethan, you need to dial it back a bit, mate. Like, come on, all this tall... goth GF stuff, it's a bit weird, isn't it? And he's like, yeah.
She's just having a talk with the internet And she's like, can you please stop? I'm a woman too. And
Resident, I have to Resident Evil intervention.
I would pay for it.
Well, you know what people won't pay for? Increased price of Xbox Live Gold.
I'll be fair. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. Pretty good. Microsoft announced that the price of Xbox Live Gold was going up by a little bit for the 1 and 3 month plans, and not the price of Gold of Game Pass Ultimate, which includes Xbox Live Gold, just the Xbox Live Gold. And the internet said no, so Xbox said okay. They tweeted, today was not great. We will always do our best for you, and today we missed the mark. We hear you, and we're reversing our Xbox Live Gold pricing updates.
So silly.
I really want, like, one day just for a company to just tweet, like, all right, yeah, that was a dick move, sorry.
Essentially, that's what happened.
I think they made it really obvious that they were increasing the price of Xbox Live Gold to try and make people go on a Game Pass, right? I think that's not, obviously they didn't come out and say that, but I feel like that was the desired result was, oh, this is the same price as Game Pass now, so I might as well just go get Game Pass. Yet another reason to, you know, like, yet another thing to try and push Game Pass on everyone and push that as their sort of main platform. I don't know if I'm alone in thinking that. But they tend to do that. Because I remember way back in the Xbox, when the Xbox One was announced and they announced that it was all online, and everyone kind of kicked off and went, oh, no, it's fine. And then they released the other one that wasn't. Now they're kind of back to the this next console, they have an all online version, don't they? Both of them do. I'm just wondering now when they try and increase the price of gold again, just to try and get away with it. Because it feels like to me they do something, get a bit of backlash, go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, and then try and do it again.
The best thing they could do really is just be like, right, we're getting rid of standard Xbox Live, everyone's getting Game Pass, but we'll keep you on the price you're paying now for a year. And then next year it goes up. Just do that. That would be better.
That's a really good shout. And no one would be... I'm sure there would still be some backlash to that, but I don't think anyone would be...
I don't want Game Pass Ultimate. I just want my gold.
You should on the Switch. I don't know.
Let's not forget here that Microsoft is the reason why we have to pay for the internet usage as it is anyway. Xbox Live Gold was originally pretty horrendous, and there was no reason for it, and they were the only people doing it at the start. Now it's a normal practice. Now even Nintendo are doing it. It's like, and they're going to be the first ones to stop doing it as well. They're going to bring it in, make it normal, rake the money in, and then they're going to stop doing it. They're going to be the first ones to stop doing it and gain all the little praise. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Beautifully said.
I mean, what do you mean the voice that I said it in?
Oh, or... no, yes, just the voice.
Because I think that I'm not the most eloquent person, but when I speak like this, it's
like music to my ears.
Wonderful.
Now have that same energy, but with not pricing games at like $70.
Yeah. Yeah, that as well. Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. Microsoft, if you're listening, please stop doing that. Don't know what this is. Let's not do
that. And the last news story involves a return from one of my early favorites from the Xbox Live Arcade, Puzzle Quest 3. It's set for release on a variety of mobile devices and PC later this year, with additional platforms being announced. So I'll be playing it on everything. It's going to be free to play, interestingly. I remember the first two were I had to pay for them, obviously. This is newly free to play. But yeah, that was over 10 years ago, which is a surprise. But Puzzle Quest has been around in other incarnations. There's been Marvel Puzzle Quest, for instance, which still keeps getting regular updates. But yeah, I'm personally excited that Puzzle Quest is making a return. Like me some Match 3.
Hmm. Is there any questing involved?
Yes, you go somewhere, you do some Match 3.
Go somewhere.
It's a new game. I don't know what the locations, do I?
True. What did you? Where did you go on the last one? In the Puzzle Quest 2? Was there a storyline?
It was 10 years ago. I don't remember.
I remember all of the important storylines of the last 10 years. Thank you.
Okay, Puzzle Quest 2 storyline was not an important one.
That's a shame. I want them to do. Do you think they will incorporate an important story into Puzzle Quest 3?
I hope so.
It would be nice.
Who knows? I know there is a story of a sort for Marvel Puzzle Quest. You have to collect the ISO 8 before the villains collect the ISO 8.
Isn't that like an Apple product? Is that an iPhone?
You must collect all of the iPhones before the villains do.
The operating system.
This is new Apple Quest. It's coming specifically to an iPhone near you. Sure, quick, collect all of the iPhones. If you don't buy them, the villains will. Don't want that.
That does remind me, though. I did download Marvel Puzzle Quest, and I've not opened it up since I downloaded it to my phone. But I'll get around to that. It'll probably be a 2 gigabyte update. I'm sorry?
Why did you not download play it?
I just set it to download and then did something else and forgot about my phone. I don't check my phone a lot during the day.
I was just wondering if there was a reason. I thought you might have played it for a little bit and gone, oh, I don't really want to play this one. Or because considering it sounds like you enjoyed Puzzle Quest 1 and 2 quite a lot. So I thought
I've played Marvel Puzzle Quest in the past, but they had some sort of update that made it the loading times absolutely insane. It was like 2 or 3 minutes.
That makes sense. That's
start the match, and then you could go make a cup of tea, come back, and then it would have just loaded you in. I'm hoping they've updated it since then. That was quite a while ago. But speaking of games that we've played previously, our main topic for this episode, what is a game that has aged well and still holds up today? Other than Puzzle Quest 2 and 3, 1 and 2.
How old can we get? What's the most recent current old game we can say? Like, give me a year.
An old game.
Is 10 years ago old?
2020.
Anything that came out last year that's still
Cyberpunk.
Stopped. I don't know.
No, let's go. Let's go PlayStation 3.
I've got them all on my desktop here. I've been playing Katamari Damacy.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, probably one of
that
my favorites.
That was a remake. That doesn't count.
Well, Portal 2, very good.
Oh yeah, Portal 2. Sorry,
for Golden, which came out on PS Vita and PS2 was the original. I've got Skyrim here on there doing bits. Skyrim really holds up still.
Special edition.
Crazy. That is the special edition, but I mean they're all the same version. Do Grim Fandango is on there? I've not played it.
Yeah.
I'm going through my desktop. Fallout New Vegas. I don't know about that though.
Left 4 Dead 2 is a great example. That game still holds up to this day. I mean, obviously we've got like a sequel, I guess, of Back 4 Blood, but we still play Left 4 Dead 2, don't we?
People do.
Someone does.
the Game Grin server, Discord server certainly does.
It's pretty much a lot of Valve games still hold up. You got your Half-Life 2s and your 8, like you said, your Portal 2. It's all the 2s basically.
Everything with a 2 in the title, that holds up. Nothing else.
Looking at you, Artifact.
Get out. Artifact. Although I would not be surprised if Artifact did not hold up today. Just judging from what I've heard of the game, I've never played it, so I don't know.
Pokemon Yellow, I would suggest, or any Pokemon from like Yellow through to Sapphire and Ruby. They still hold up?
Pokemon's still fun.
Well, if you're including Yellow, then Red and Blue as well, because Yellow was not the same thing.
Specifically not them.
No.
No. I don't know. I feel like games... like, some games do age poorly, but I feel like the ones that do age poorly are not the ones that we still talk about or even still probably remember.
Although, Sonic 06.
Sonic 06 didn't release very well. It can't have aged poorly because it released poorly. I don't...
100%.
If anything, it aged very well because it still plays exactly as terribly as it did back then.
Like fine milk aged well. WarioWare. Actually, no, you know what? A lot of rhythm games have aged well. Like you got your Rock Band, your Rhythm Heaven, and WarioWare, even though it's not a rhythm game, it's still like the rhythm aspects of it. WarioWare is a great example.
Actually, I'll tell you some the issue with rhythm games, and we're talking about stuff like Parappa and Guitariman, particularly, which are two of my favorites as a kid, hold up slightly worse today solely because of delay on screens.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, they didn't use HD screens, so there was less delay from the PlayStation 2 or the PlayStation 1 to your sort of CRTs. Now there's a bit of delay between an old console and a HD screen at the very least. So they kind of, I wouldn't say hold up badly, but they hold up less well because sometimes the timing is off.
Wasn't Parappa the Rapper literally the first rhythm game?
No, wasn't it Rabbit, the Rabbit one?
What?
Actually, Simon would be, right?
Yeah, the rhythm game. Simon says, I guess. I don't know if Parappa was the first rhythm game. If it was, then it has aged incredibly well.
I think that Vib Ribbon.
Vib Ribbon was, I think, Vib Ribbon.
Oh, wait. Parappa. That's 1999. Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, what's that?
See?
Oh, you know, Parappa. I was going to say Incredible Crisis has rhythm sections in it, but I guess that's also 2000.
Yeah, maybe Parappa is the first rhythm game. I know I've got a little Parappa figure on my desk here. He's looking good. I like Parappa. It's good, but yeah, when a game ages badly, it's usually because the mechanics aren't perfected yet. So something like Mario 64, which came out and everyone's minds were blown, but now when you go back to it and you play it and you go, oh, these controls are weird and the camera's not very good and whatever, you know, even though Mario still controls really well, it's not aged particularly well. Like, those are the kind of games that don't age well, I think.
I mean, obviously Time Crisis, because it's a timeless classic, or like on a more serious note, quite a lot of the real-time strategy games, StarCraft, Command & Conquer, Age of Empires, they hold up really well. Even in the lower resolutions, like you can still quite happily jump into them and enjoy them. A bit of an odd one. I know it got remade, but the original Modern Warfare is still probably one of the best FPSs ever made. I'd also say, I think it was the late 2000s Medal of Honor, not Warfare Fighter, the one before, which was like the reboot one. That holds up quite well.
The Spec Ops The Line also, I've never played it, but I've heard good things.
Ooh, you know what?
Yeah.
I think from a narrative point of view it does, because you know, like at least from the games I've played, no other game has come anywhere near close doing the whole horror of war thing and doing it well. Spec Ops is the only game I can think of that did horrors of war and actually did it well.
So I think like Spec Ops holds up well because its story and narrative is so good and so interesting. Like, not that its gameplay is particularly involving. Like, it's fine. Back in the day, it was passable. But as a product of its time, probably is aged very well because I think it's probably still relevant as well.
Yeah.
Thinking about Spec Ops The Line and the way its story plays out.
Yeah, I'm also thinking like a lot of the like bigger PS1 era games, so like your Final Fantasies, your your Metal Gear. Mm-hmm. They still hold up. But I'll tell you, just reminded myself of it, a game that still holds up because I played it quite recently. It is getting remade, but I don't care about that. The Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. That still, like, it's a great game.
I've been seeing a lot of it on Twitter, but Mirror's Edge.
Oh, yes.
I've seen a lot of people sort of go, graphics have never gotten better than Mirror's Edge, haven't they? Like, visual art styles haven't gotten better than Mirror's Edge in a long time. Or, like, you know, and that game's really unique and strange. And the fact that people still look back, I still look back fondly upon that game and go, you know what? That was a good time. Even it was short, but, like, it was a lot of fun. And it still looks great.
Yeah, it does.
It's come close to, I think, both aesthetically and thematically. And, you know, I still to this day love that, yes, you can pick up a gun, but your shit, you can't reload.
All of them are terrible. Don't do it.
I'll just a shout out for a pal. They probably want to say Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
Although I was told to play it again, because I said that the sword play, the actual action was a bit off. Actually, it's very, very good. I think it was just Alucard is really slow for me, a bit too slow for me, but I still love the game.
I think a lot of those 2D side-scrollers particularly are always really... I don't feel like there's a single side-scrolling game that has aged poorly.
Bubsy.
Good. I mean, that was good when it came out. I feel like it's only the 3D ones and, like, the jump to 3D. I don't know, maybe I'm being weird with that, because I can't think of any in the back of my head where I've gone, oh, that Mario 2D game was pretty bad, but, like...
Sonic.
I mean, the old Sonic games still hold up. Old Sonic games are still fun to play until they jump to 3D, and then they're not fun anymore.
They became hilarious.
They became, oh, look, that guy's speaking with his eyebrows. What's going on?
Oh, my God. We are forgetting the OG of games that hold up and have aged well, and it pains me to say this, specifically the PS2 version, because back in the day, different platforms had different, just entirely different games, even though they were the same thing. The PlayStation 2 version of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Is that a picture of Hagrid that everyone posts around?
That's the PS1 first game.
Or is that the PS1? I'm not up to date with all of these young kid memes that are going around. I don't know.
Out of all the Harry Potter games that have been released at the time of recording, because there is obviously a new one in the works, and there's some shitty mobile ones, Chamber of Secrets on PS2, and I think it's Prisoner of Azkaban on Game Boy Advance. Go and play them. Just go play them. One is a fantastic, slightly open-world RPG. The other one is a turn-based RPG, and it's great.
A turn-based RPG, you say? You have my interest.
So I tried.
Oh no. Which one? Is that the GBA one?
Yeah, the Prisoner of Azkaban on GBA is a turn-based RPG, and it's amazing.
I'll have to have a look at that.
And with that, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Nikki, Winks, and Valt. And thank you for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out GameGrin.com, where you'll find all of our writing. Keep an eye on social media. Just search for GameGrin to find out whenever a new episode goes live, as well as all the daily news, reviews, and articles. Finally, if you subscribe via Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, thank you. And if you can leave a review on your platform of choice, an even bigger thank you. Finally, game on.